the church, so y'all don't know me. I was born in Southern California and raised near San Diego, and I just moved to Alaska a little over a year ago. And Alaska's, you know, obviously very different for me, being from Southern California my whole life. Before coming here, I was a California Highway Patrol officer for 17 years, and I have two children, Robert and Joanna. Robert's 8 and Joanna's 5. And I lost my husband a year and a half ago, but I'm going to get back to that later. I want to start out with this interesting verse, and actually it ties in very well with what Safina just did. If somebody would like to look up, or if everybody would like to look up, James 4, 7 through 10. And if anybody would just like to read that when they turn to it.
Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you.
I thought that was an interesting verse when I was looking for verses to tie into my study this evening. That's actually a verse that's telling us when we're not supposed to be joyful. We're having a study on being joyful, but this verse tells us we're not supposed to be joyful in certain circumstances. And we can tell from what Kiana just read that we're not supposed to be joyful if we're not standing correctly or if our hearts aren't right before the Lord. Then we can't be in a state of joy in that case if we're not standing before God and with a pure heart and we have sin in our lives or whatever is causing us to have blocking that relationship with the Lord. So having that thought in mind, then I'll just go ahead and turn to my lesson tonight, which is actually living a joyful life. I'm, you know, not by any means an expert on joy or living a joyful life, but I have, you know, learned a few things, especially in the last year and a half, that I'd like to share with you all this evening. I'd like to start off with talking about what joy that we can have through giving. And, you know, we could think of giving with money, you know, with time, you know, with our things that we possess. There's all different ways, you know, that we can give of ourselves. In particular, I think it's very important that we give of our time. And if you don't mind turning just to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And then anybody who gets that, if they don't mind reading it.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So we can see from this verse that, you know, material things really, they don't matter. I mean, they're so temporary. And I don't know if you've ever been, you know, victim of actually a robbery or a break-in or anything like that, but it just kind of wrenches you when you have your things taken and it's such a violation. And you had something at one point and then all of a sudden it's gone now and you'll probably never see it again and who knows who has it and what they're doing with it. But if we do what the Bible says, which is not to put any kind of interest like that into material things and just store ourselves up. What it's talking about is storing up things in heaven, and that's good deeds. I mean, nobody can break in and steal our good deeds. I mean, loving one another and doing good, kind things for each other, helping each other, that can never be taken away. And that's what God looks at when we do those kind of deeds, and there's our riches. They're stored up in heaven, and those can never be corrupted or taken away from us. And, of course, there's joy of giving, just money. And we're very familiar with 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. It's read quite often during services. And if somebody wouldn't mind just turning to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, and go ahead and read it.
Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has proposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed.
So this verse isn't just talking about us on, you know, Sunday mornings, go ahead and, you know, putting what we've desired and purpose in our hearts, you know, getting back to the Lord on Sunday morning during church. But I interpret it as actually, you know, parting with goods, with material things that we have. If we see somebody that needs clothing or needs, you know, cooking ware for their kitchen or whatever, just taking from what you have and giving it to that person. And you know, so those actually have a need of material things, just giving to them, or people that are just in need of help. I mean, maybe somebody needs help physically to get around, or needs a ride, or needs just to have somebody go visit them and spend time with them, and just let them know that you care about them. That's how we can sow, you know, our love for the Lord with other people. And if we sow bountifully in that way, the Lord will bless us and we'll reap bountifully with that. Touching on that, you know, giving to the needy. There's a tremendous amount of joy when we just give to those that, you know, perhaps are less fortunate or are in need. If someone would mind turning to Matthew 6, 1 through 4, and go ahead and read that. And at the same time, if somebody could just turn to Luke 12, 32 to 34, because that also talks about the same idea.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their full reward. So when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you.
I thought what was interesting about this verse, it doesn't say if you give to the needy, it says when you give to the needy. So it's not an option for us to be not giving to other people. It's when. It's a commandment. We need to do that. It's something that the Lord wants us to do, to share our love with other people and share our faith through helping people in that way. Then whoever has Luke 12, 32 to 34, if they could please read that.
Do not be afraid, little flock. If your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
At this time, I was wondering if you go ahead, there's some notebook paper in the pamphlets and, you know, the file that you were given. You could get out a piece of notebook paper and just take a minute to go ahead and write down the name of a person that you know that's not in our church, that you know has some kind of need, whether it be, you know, they're hungry and maybe they need a meal, or they have a child maybe that could use some clothes, or whatever it is, that there's just a person that you could think of that you could just reach out and next week, I mean, just put it down on your list and reach out to this person and see if you can go ahead and meet that person's need. Because I know just from my experience that there's just so much joy that you can get from just reaching out to somebody and meeting their need and not expecting anything back in return. Just giving them something and letting them know that you care. So if you could just take a minute maybe and just think about somebody that you know, not in the church family, that you could just reach out to. And like I said, even if it's just bringing them a meal over to their house or whatever kind of, you know, maybe they need to have something fixed in their house. Maybe they need to have something done in their yard, or something needs to be done in preparation for winter coming or something like that. Just some way you can reach out and give of your time or give of a possession or something like that and help them out. The next topic I'd like to talk about is the joy that we can receive in serving other people. There's a tremendous amount of joy that can be received by just giving of one's time. Time is, that's what we have is time, and that's what God has given us on this earth is time, and we have a certain amount of time that He's given us to be able to reach out to people and help people and love them. And part of that, what I found just personally in my life before I moved to Alaska was very busy when I was still working and everything. But it's easier to give of your time to others if you change your priorities and you just make your schedule as open as possible to help other people. So I'm just like queen of like list of things to do. You know, I say, okay, I've got like these 10 things I need to do. But, and I found that years ago or just recently, if I have on that list, you know, just personal things that really won't ever, that won't matter 50 or 100 years from now, you know, like, I need to go down to Walmart and pick out a new paint color for my bathroom or something like that. You know, things that really just centered on me. But if I can just keep this list open and put to the top of the list, well, what can I do to help somebody else today? You know, what can I do and go out and, you know, and maybe have a specific person that I want to contact. Maybe a specific person I need to talk to them about the Lord about. Maybe a specific person that needs help with childcare, something like that, so I can, you know, give them a break or something because they need a break from caring for their child all day or all week. And then if I move that up to the top, the other things just seem to fall in place, or maybe they don't even matter anymore. It doesn't matter, you know, that my bathroom is white and I want to change it to yellow or something like that. It just, because you really don't get any joy out of that, but there's so much joy in seeing that person's face after they just maybe had a 2 or 3 hour break because you watched their child for a while and, you know, they've been rejuvenated, you helped them, and then it feels so good just to help that other person. But to do that, it's important to keep your schedule as open as possible, because if it's crammed with all of your personal things that you want to get done, you won't have time to open up your schedule to help the other person if you're just got your schedule just full of things, you know, for your personal to-do list. If somebody could turn to Romans 12 and 13. Romans 12, verses 12 and 13. Hopefully that's correct.
Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality.
And if someone could turn to Galatians 6:10.
So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith.
I really like that verse. I think if we lived by that verse, and really centered more of our activities around that verse, that we would really discover the joy in serving. Because that right there tells us to do good, to serve all people, but then especially those who belong in the family of believers, you know, giving special attention to our Christian family. So on that same piece of paper, if you wouldn't mind just writing down maybe another person within the Lord's family, a person that you might know that needs help, and if there's something specifically that you could do for that person. And then aspire, perhaps, and give yourself a deadline. I know I'm queen of deadlines. I need a deadline to go ahead and make myself do something. So, you know, give yourself for both the person that's outside of church and that's inside the church family, give yourself a deadline, you know, something reasonable that you can work with. You know, if it's seven days, maybe, you know, 1 week, a week from today, a week from tomorrow, maybe you need 10 or 14 days. But go ahead and write that down and the idea that you have that you can help this person out specifically, and then put it on the top of your list of things to do and you know, go ahead and get that done and have that be your goal for the week. The next topic I'd like to cover is joy of encouraging. Joy of encouraging can't be done unless we get involved with other people's lives. That's the bottom line. To encourage, you have to know what's going on in other people's lives in order to encourage them. It'd be impossible for me to encourage any one of you ladies in here if I have no idea what is going on in your life, what's your struggles, what areas you're rejoicing in, what areas you're you have needs with. So we have to be involved in each other's lives in order to help each other in that way. for instance, I just can't get over last Saturday. I moved from one home to another, and it was, overwhelming task for myself, but it was just incredible, a large turnout of everyone in the church family that came and helped me. I mean, within just 3 or 4 hours, they moved my entire household, down the road. I mean, and it was fun doing it, and they did a really good job, too. So far, I don't think I found any damaged furniture. Believe me, if you knew me, I'm perfectionist. I'm like inspecting for nicks and stuff like that. But they did a really good job, And I'd say they did a good job for amateurs, but I don't think the group that did this is amateurs. I think they're the official church moving crew. I think they have a lot of experience in this area. But I mean, I was just overwhelmed, and then the people are telling me, they received joy out of helping me. And I mean, and I'm just overwhelmed by that. And in turn, all I can think of is, I'd like to somehow return the favor to each one of these people and somehow help them in some way that I can. And, that's a relationship working back and forth then and getting to know each other through helping each other like that. But if someone would turn to Romans 12:15, please. That goes back to what I was saying about, getting to know each other, because we can't rejoice with those who are rejoicing if we don't know that they're rejoicing, what they're rejoicing about. And if somebody has, something that they're weeping about, maybe a minor thing or maybe a huge life-turning tragedy's occurred, if we're involved with their lives, then, yeah, we need to weep with them. And you can get joy by sharing people's sorrows like that, and that takes some of the burden off the other person, and you're experiencing compassion and everything with this person brings joy to your own life. I would just, instead of writing this down, I would just like to kind of open it up for a moment and just ask any one of you for ideas on how we can get involved in other people's lives. I mean, just throw out some ideas on how we can help people and get involved. I'm sorry?
Introduce yourself and have
them. Right. That's exactly. That's good.
Well, the moving thing was.
Right. The moving thing is definitely involvement.
It's the dinners that everybody brings, like when Marty got, people brought us some dinners, and I can cook still. Maybe that's a fancy question. Marty. Getting involved at the nursery, even though it's just within our church, I know we've all gotten to know each other a lot better just by doing that, and it brings a lot of fun. And
just picking up the phone and saying how's your day too, because you find out a lot just when you do that. You can just go down the list and pick a phone number there and see how somebody's doing.
That's a good point. Yeah. And I guess also like cards of encouragement. I don't know if anybody kind of likes to do that. I know there's this one lady, her name's Marilyn Lestrap, and I used to attend church with her down in San Diego County, and she moved to Texas. But she had this incredible card ministry where she had everybody's birthdays and anniversaries written down. And, I mean, everybody in the church family, she'd write an anniversary card to them and a birthday card to them. And then even after she moved to Texas, she's still back in San Marcos and Escondido, back in Southern California. We still were receiving anniversary and birthday cards, even after she moved to Texas. But I know that must have been like a full-time job for her. She must have written, hundreds a year, not to speak of the postage and everything and the cost of the cards. But I imagine that was a personal ministry of hers that she really enjoys. And, it's it's nice, you know, I think the phone calls is an excellent idea, you know, and cards too. I mean, just to open up your mailbox or your P.O. box and get a card from someone, I know it's encouraging, and especially if it's, you know, personalized because we've gotten involved in that person's life and you know that maybe they're having an area where they need encouragement, or maybe they're having a time in their life where they're rejoicing, and then the card can be not of, you know, something that's needs encouraging, but it's something that, you know, you can share their happiness with. The next topic I'd like to cover is the joy of gratitude. I guess probably it's being grateful, well, what I like to call while looking at the big picture. I mean, it's easy to get down, you know, about it, and I do it constantly, just about little things, and you know, it's, you micromanage the little things, and you get down about them, and as a side note, personally, this kind of doesn't have anything to do with this, but I just want to mention it, because I was talking about happiness earlier. I've realized to myself since moving up to Alaska that I'm really, my happiness seems to be kind of oriented toward the weather. I think I'm a real weather person. And I never knew that before because in Southern California, there's, you know, 360 days a year of 75 degree weather practically. And then when I came up here and all of a sudden I realized, you know, in the winter it's cold and I need to put on shoes. I didn't even have any shoes hardly. Definitely not ones for the snow. And I needed a jacket, you know, that wasn't like 25 years old with holes in it and stuff. And, you know, and if you know me, you know I'm really cheap. I haven't even gotten a new jacket, so I have a 25-year-old one with holes in it. But, you know, and I don't have the right shoes and everything, so I'm freezing. And then there's 6 hours of daylight, and I'm like, what is this? I mean, I felt like I was on Neptune or something like that. I mean, it was not my planet. And, I mean, I was really down, I mean, down. And I find that even in the summer, when it's, you know, sunny one day, but then it's like raining for a couple of days, I'll start getting down because of the rain. You know what I mean? And it's not right. I was talking to a couple of ladies about this, and they're like, well, you know what? Joy has to come from inside you, and you can't let something like, you know, well, it's raining outside, and therefore I'm not joyful, or it's, you know, 6 hours of sunlight outside, and, you know, snow on the ground, it's freezing your feet and your fingers, but that can't stop you from being joyful because, I mean, Christ is living in us, and that's our source of joy, not what the weather's like out there. So I'm hoping we're gonna have a better winter this year, so I don't have to like really get down and think, okay, I'm joyful. The weather doesn't matter. It's kind of funny how you like move someplace and you realize what you thought wouldn't affect you and wouldn't be a problem. It is a problem. but I'm hoping, you know, the Lord will be with me this winter, and you know, we'll have it be fast and go away. I think I'm going to be better this winter because I know what to expect. I mean, last winter, I mean, I did not, I mean, I've never been in the snow for more than 2 hours in my life, so I didn't know what to expect. But anyways, back to what I was saying about looking at the big picture. If somebody could turn to 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. I really like that verse, and I think that kind of goes right now with what I was talking about with the weather. You know, the darkness, you know, and the lack of daylight during the winter is temporary, thank goodness. But, you know, so that's a light temporary affliction, you know, the weather. Okay, that is real. But then there's like even things that are like enormous. That is still a light and temporary affliction because, like Diane talking about her illness and everything. I mean, that's enormous. That's a life-changing event. But the Lord's telling us in this, that's still a light temporary affliction because our eyes are set not on what's here on this planet, but our eternal reward. So keeping that in mind, it makes whatever troubles that we have seem much smaller, and we can put them in perspective just knowing that God has a greater plan for us and has a big picture in mind for us, and what's going on here right now is part of the plan he has for here, but looking above that, you know, to what the Lord has for us as a reward in heaven, that's eternity. I mean, no matter how many years we have here on this planet, it might seem like an eternity to us, but I mean, you know, it isn't. I mean, but our eternal reward with Jesus, that's eternity and, you know, what we need to set our sights on. What I do in the morning during, what I did do, actually I started this when I felt myself starting to getting depressed last winter, is I made a list of things that I'm thankful for. And it's just amazing once you start, I'm sure that you probably, most of you have done this, I'm sure it's probably a very common self-help technique. But I, you know, just got out a piece of paper and I made a list of everything that I'm thankful for. And I mean, once you start writing, I mean, there's just so many things, you know, that we're thankful for and that God has blessed us with and that, you know, maybe that we have, especially that he's blessed us with, that maybe other people don't have. And certainly, just as a nation, how many blessings that we have. Just, you know, the material wealth that this country has compared to every other country in this world, practically. But you're going to start writing and writing and be thankful for your family and thankful for, you know, the Lord, you know, giving his life on the cross for us. I mean, everything. And then I found that incorporating that into my prayer life, I mean, it's actually taking that list of what I'm grateful for and then just thanking the Lord for it. I mean, just going to him in prayer with that list and just thanking him. I mean, it helps you to just be more thankful just in your daily walk for things when you've just taken that whole list and just thank the Lord for it. The next thing I'd like to talk about is the joy of God's Spirit in us. What I should have been doing all my life, and I haven't started doing it until just recently, and I realize how much I've missed out and how life-changing it is. And I'm sure many of you ladies do this, is I have a devotional at the beginning of my day. I go ahead now and I set my alarm clock, you know, how many minutes early I need before I need to start the routine, you know, with getting up my children up and getting ready for school. And I just, you know, sit down, have a morning devotional and, you know, studying a scripture, you know, or a few scriptures. And, you know, I have my list of, you know, prayers, you know, the people that I'm praying for or things that I'm praying about. And I also ask the Lord to lead me and what he wants me to do, you know, during that particular day. I say, you know, God, you know, don't just let me just fall into the same routine or whatever, but actually bring somebody into my life maybe that I can make a difference with. And it's funny, it's like, because all of a sudden it'll like happen during the day, you know, most of the time. All of a sudden there'll be like this opportunity that just came up where, even if it's a tiny difference that I've made in somebody's life. Like, for instance, this was many months ago, but I dropped off Robert at school, or I think Robert and Joanne at school, and I was going through the Burger King line to get a croissant for Joanna's preschool teacher, because she likes croissants. And bacon, egg, and cheese croissants. And the man in front of me that was going to go through the drive-through line, you know how they have those signs above that's like the maximum height sign or whatever? He had a truck, and I forget now what was in the back. It was some huge, large item in the back. And he was going to, you know, he was like reading the menu. He was going to proceed forward to the order window or to the order, you know, board. And he would have hit and damaged. Well, he would have knocked down that sign up there, and he would have damaged the load on his truck, what I forgot was on the back of his truck. And so I, you know, just stopped my car, and I jumped out, and I ran over to his window, you know, and I thought, he's going to be startled to see me, but whatever. I got to tell him because he's going to be pulling forward here the next second. I said, you know, excuse me, but your load is going to hit that, you know, maximum height sign right here. And he's like, well, what? You know, he gets out, and he's, oh, wow, you know, thank you. And so I said, thank you, Lord. I can see you caused me just at that second to be going through that Burger King drive-through line so I can help this man not damage his, you know, whatever he had in the back of his truck. And I guess the Burger King maximum height sign too would have been damaged. I helped Burger King out. But, you know, so it's like little things like that, or it could be big things. You know, maybe somebody has a big need, you know, that needs to be met. Maybe, you know, somebody has, well, there's this lady in my neighborhood. I noticed that she had this tons of garbage stacking up next to her house. And so I knew something was going on. I mean, you just don't let this garbage in these bags stack up next to her house like that. So I actually knocked on her door and, I mean, you know, asked her if she just needed some help, you know, taking this garbage to the dump. And, I mean, she was just completely overwhelmed. I mean, she's like, nobody's ever, like, a stranger has come up and just, you know, knocked on my door and said, you need help taking garbage to the dump. And I noticed that, well, she just had one child with her, but then I found out later on that she had two. And, you know, I could just tell kind of by looking inside her house that, you know, things weren't kept very well. So I asked her, you know, if she needed it, you know, any groceries or anything like that. And she's like, you know, no, I'm okay. But, you know, I knew that she probably needed some. So I, you know, made a pasta dinner that night, and I went to Cars and got several bags of groceries and brought them back over to her. And she had declined the original offer completely of help, of the trash, the food, the dinner, everything. But I still went back with the groceries and the food and knocked on her door that evening and gave it to her. And she was just, you know, completely overwhelmed and was very grateful for it, actually. And then still didn't at that moment accept my help for the trash. But then I came back, you know, like in a couple of days, and then she did. She gladly accepted my help, and I ended up, you know, cleaning up her yard for her. But, you know, through that, you know, she's like, wow, you know, what is it that, you know, caused you to, like, nobody, no strangers ever come up and done something like this? And, you know, so I told her a little bit about myself, and I told her, you know, it's because I want to help people and I love the Lord. And, you know, I guess there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, you know, always ready to have an answer for the hope that's in us. So, you know, you've got to have people kind of question you, well, what is it that causes you to do this? And then you give the answer of the hope that's in you, you know, because you love the Lord and you want to help mankind, you want to help your fellow man because the Lord, you know, if we don't love our brothers and sisters whom we have seen, how can we love the Lord that we haven't seen? So we need to, you know, show our love. And what better way than just by going out and helping somebody like that? If somebody could turn to Philippians 4, 11 through 13. To 13, it is.
I know to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
I really like these verses, and in fact, I really like the whole book of Philippians. Sometimes I just like to sit down in such a short book, just read the whole book. There's so many different passages in there that I think are very inspiring and apply to my life in particular. In that verse, you know, the part that says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I don't know if any translations have translated content into joy, but I mean, I think that could easily be substituted there. I have learned the secret of being joyful in any and every situation. I mean, that's, I think Paul was trying to say that he could experience joy, you know, no matter what situation he was in, if he was abounding at the moment or if he was impoverished at the moment. But, you know, in my personal situation, that really affects me because my life kind of has been a roller coaster the last couple of years, and I had a very interesting life. Being a highway patrol officer, if you ever want to hear any stories or anything like that, I'd be glad to share them with you. But I actually missed the job, but I had to quit because of my children. It was impossible to work 40 or 50 hours a week as a police officer and raise my kids right. You know, I just couldn't do it. And my father was my primary source of child care. He took care of them, you know, during the hours they needed. And then he passed from cancer, and there wasn't really anybody else to take care of him. So I had to, you know, I had to quit because I couldn't do both right. I couldn't be a good police officer, and I couldn't be a good mom. I just couldn't. So obviously the mom had to take precedence, so I quit the job. But you know, I don't know, you know, how you feel about you know, not putting like your complete faith or confidence in the Lord. And, I don't know if you ever struggle with, you know, blaming the Lord for like things that happen in your life. I mean, Diane here, obviously, you know, she found her joy and her trust and everything, you know, in her illness and everything. And you know, it sounds like she never once doubted the Lord's plan or love or mercy or anything during it. But some of you, you know, that might be an issue, you know, where if something little happens in your life that might be bad, or maybe like a huge tragedy in your life's happened, and you might think, you know, the Lord has turned his back on me, and he's left me, or you know, the Lord, you know, God did this to me, so I'm not going to, you know.